Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And we know that there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I'm still excited over the book of Job that we are studying. We will continue that study. And we know that Job's book was written similar to Proverbs, so it's a lot of good truths in it. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes also. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I want to thank and take personal time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using, and I want you to continue to give them to me, please, and thank you for that. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Isaiah the prophet, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. So the promise is salvation. If we look unto God. God said again, this time through King David, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Excuse me. Psalms 1, verse 1. The blessing, or the promise is the blessing, that if you walk in God, and not in the world, that you will receive godliness, you will receive righteousness and not unrighteousness. Again, God said through King David again, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that's taken from Psalms 55, verse 22. Again, the promise is that if you put all of what you have going on in your life on God, he'll take care of it for you. He will lead you and guide you through it, and you will not be suffered to be moved from your requirements to be saved. Excuse me again. I'm sorry. The question to you again this evening right now, are you standing on these promises? Now, before we go to the study, again, as I always rehearse it, that the Bible was written in code. My brothers and sisters, we need to know this. It is written in code. That means we must be able to decipher and to rightfully divide and to figure it out. Mysteries that are in the Bible, the secrets that are in the Bible, the parables that are in the Bible, the prophecies, the proverbs, the paradoxes, and the riddles and symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that's why we have come together tonight. My precious brothers and sisters, be ready to study and learn. Okay, let's do it together. Now let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Job chapter 19. And we're going to be looking at verse 25 through 27. Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. Repentance has merit. My brothers and sisters, asking for forgiveness of sins has merit. That is the reason that Jesus came. Jesus said that his gospel, or the good news that he brought, was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So we know that repentance is key. Now listen to what Job told his cohort. He was responding to Bildad the Shuhite when he said this. This is what Job said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and none, and not another, though my rends be consumed within me. Repentance has merit, my precious brothers and sisters. This is what Job is talking about. And to give a little more clarity to what Job said, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 through 16. And listen to this. This is what God told King Solomon about repentance. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven, that there be no more rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, listen, my precious brothers and sisters, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive unto this prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and mine and my heart shall be there perpetually. My brothers and sisters, our temple is our body, and within that temple resides the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He says, if you will repent, ask for forgiveness, and then you shall receive that which you ask. That is critical. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, as I always would like to compare the Old Testament to the New Testament, just so we can get a understanding how they tie in together. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to be reading verse 1 through 4 and verse 8 through 10, And this is what the New Testament has to say about it. And I can see that we're at the first break. So let's take this first break, and then we'll return to the instruction.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, you can see from the commercial that repentance is key to getting closer to God, because in repentance there is not only forgiveness, but there is change. And if you change, then you will reap the benefit. Now, let's continue with repentance has merit. Let's look at what Paul taught the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. And this is what we're talking about. Repentance has merit. Listen to what Paul says. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's repent. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulations. And 8 through 10 completes the thought. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that some epistle have made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that your sorrow to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a good manner, that ye might receive damage, that you might receive damage by us not in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. My precious brothers and sisters, Paul is telling the Corinthians that you must change, and that if what you receive from the Bible sounds like it is reprimanding you, then it is. It's causing you to change for better. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in your lives, that salvation only works. Salvation only works, is only received through repentance. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Salvation only works, is only received through repentance. And that's what I want you to take with you from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Job. We're going to be looking at Job chapter 20. And as I read these verses to you in Job chapter 20, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. Wicked, also defined by Zophar. So we know that all of the cohorts that were with Job, there were three, each one in turn tried to convince and convict Job of sin. And so this is Zophar, the Naamathite, telling Job what wickedness, how wickedness is defined. We're looking at Job chapter 20, verse 29. Listen to what he said. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. That's what Zophar told Job. He continued by saying, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Verse 15 continues, he hath swallowed down riches and shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. Verse 18 continues, that which he laboreth for shall he restore and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. Verse 20 continues, surely he shall not feed or feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save for of that which he desire. 23 continues, when he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. And verse 27 completes this thought, the heaven shall reveal his iniquity and the earth shall rise up against him. My brothers and sisters, that is defining wickedness and your receipt or your portion of it, great. Now let's look at the Ecclesiastes has to say about this. Just to add some impetus, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes, and King Solomon, he rehearsed this to Israel. Listen to what King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. And this is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, Solomon said, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that labored for the wind all his days? Listen, my brothers and sisters, all of his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath in his sickness. That is a perfect description, or an added supplement to the description that Zophar gave about evil and evilness and wickedness. This is what you will suffer. Now, let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to look at Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and listen to what Paul rehearsed to Israel concerning the same thing. Listen to what he said to the Romans about wickedness. Verse 18, we'll start. Chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then verse 29 continues, and it gives details. And this is the wickedness that is defined. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of evil, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering, backbiting, hatred of God, despiteful, proud, boisterous, inventors of evil, and disobedient to the parent. And I see that we're on our second break. I apologize. Let's take the second break, and then we will continue with the instruction.
I want to share a very important philosophy with you today. It's a philosophy I think everyone should hear. Proverbs 6:8-11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Here's the five philosophy that we can learn from ants. Ants have no commander. Ants don't need a commander to tell them to get started. They work faithfully and need no outside accountability to keep them doing right and doing the right things. They work hard and will replace their anthill when it gets ruined. Meaning, if you want to apply this in your real life, be proactive, be honest to yourself, and be industrious. Ants plan ahead. Ants think winter all summer long. They store provision in summer. They think the clock is running out of time, and they are hurrying to get food back to their hive. Meaning, they hustle hard in advance to secure their future. Ants stay positive, always. Ants remind themselves that winter does not last long. They know they'll soon be out. Meaning, whatever happens in your life right now, it will not last forever. Ants never quit. They only change their approach. If they're going somewhere and you stop them or block their pathway, they'll look for another way up, down, all around. they keep looking till they find another way. Meaning, be learned to embrace struggle and hardship in your life. Be flexible and be like ants who don't quit. Winners are not quitters. Ants always do their best, meaning give your best in everything you do right now. It will always lead you to the greater things and the next level in your life. Thanks for watching this video. Share and...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with the definition that identifies wickedness. And this is Paul talking to the Romans, and it's Romans chapter 1, and it's verse 20, or verse 30 through 32. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boisterous, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. My precious brothers and sisters, that's exactly what happens to those who perform such things. And this is the understanding that I want you to receive from this instruction, that destruction of both body and soul is the result of evil and wickedness. The destruction of both body and soul, my brothers and sisters, are the result of what is wicked. Now let's go back to Job, to the next instruction, Job chapter 21. And now we're going to look at what Job is responding to Zophar for what Zophar cited him with. And this is the instruction, a good defense rebuttal. So what Zophar said to Job, Job's response, well put. And it is in Job chapter 21, verse 2 and 4 and several other verses. Listen to what is said. Hear diligently my speech, Job said, and let this be your consolation. Verse 4, ask for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Meaning my complaint is not to man. If anything, it's to God. Listen to what Job continues to say in verse 22 through 26. This is what Job continues to say. Shall any teach God knowledge? Seeing he judgeth those that are on high, one die in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are without moistened milk with a marrow. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. And we're going to go now to verse 29 and 30 to complete the thought. Have ye not asked them that go by the way, and do ye not know their tokens, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. And that's the key for your wickedness, my brothers and sisters. And that is how Job responded to Zophar, and it was a good response, a good rebuttal to what Job or Zophar was trying to identify or cite Job with. Now we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see in Romans chapter 8 how Job, Romans chapter 8, we're going to see how the New Testament complements what Job just said. Romans chapter 8, all right? And it's verse 28 through 31. Listen to what Paul rehearsed to the Romans. And we know all things work for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom did he foreknow, he also predestinated to be confirmed or conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Listen, my brothers and sisters, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And verse 32 completes the thought. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. My precious brothers and sisters, that is a well-defined rebuttal. What Job is telling Zophar is God is the determinant factor. Man is not. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is the determining factor in our lives. God and God's will, God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So that says it all. And Job was right on spot. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Job 22 this time. And this is Eliphaz the Temanite, trying to cite Job again to conform to the criticism that he is convicted of sin because of what he has done. And this is what Eliphaz is going to say in Job chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at verse 2 through 4 to begin with. But this is the instruction, again, that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Man is not equal or above God. So as Job responded well to Zophar, now Eliphaz is jumping on that and trying to convert it. And listen to what Job or Eliphaz said about that. Man is not equal or above God. This is what Eliphaz says in Job chapter 22, verse 2 through 4. Can a man be profited unto God, as he that is wise may be profited unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy way perfect? Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? Verse 12 through 14 continues. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how they are. And thou sayest, how does God know? Can he judge through the dark clouds? Thick clouds are a covering to him, that he seeth not, and he walketh in a circuit of heaven. Verse 21 through 23 completes the thought. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace thereby. Good shall come into thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt be put, and he shall put away any iniquity far from thy tabernacles. My precious brothers and sisters, Zophar was correct, but he was incorrect in citing Job as a sinner. But what he said was correct. Now let's go to Genesis 1, and we're going to see how it's put. God has impetus over all. Listen to what Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then let's go to 26 through 28. And this is concerning man being created by God. It says, and God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So Job is telling, or this is telling us that God is, or man is not equal to God. That's the point, okay? And now what we want to do is go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how, again, we're going to go to Romans chapter 9, and we're going to see how it was rehearsed to the Romans by Paul, the apostle. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Romans chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 15, and verse 15 puts it on this wise, and I see we're at the next break. Let's take this break, and then we'll complete the instruction.
Listen, America. Be very careful. The Babylonian Empire came down. The Roman Empire came down. The Kushite Empire came down. Don't you get high-minded and think that we cannot come down. We got to be careful what we let go on and what we let happen in this country, because it is possible. History teaches us that kingdoms fall. Nations fall. Empires crush. The Babylonians thought they couldn't be taken. They thought they were bad. But the Persians came up, and they brought the whole empire down. Babylon, not Babylon. Babylon's name goes back to the Tower of Babel. But God still brought them down. Not Babylon. Babylon comes out of the Old Testament. Mesopotamia, the new word we would have would be Iraq. Not them, but God brought them down. God can bring you down. He can shut it down. That's why you got to live with a certain amount of humility. I don't care how many skyscrapers you build, how many jets you own, how strong your technology is. God don't care nothing about none of that. When God gets ready to shut you down, he shut down the whole world with a virus we can't even see. And not one atomic bomb did anybody any good. Not one supersonic jet did anybody any good. Not IBM, not Xerox, not Google. Not nobody could do anything about it. God used something we never even thought of. A bug from a bird shut down the planet. You don't know what God's gonna fight with, but I declare God's gonna get you out of this.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction is man is not equal or above God. And we've already known through the reading so far that God is preeminent. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is ubiquitous. He is everywhere at the same time. And this is what Paul said concerning that in Romans chapter 9. And he starts with verse 15. Listen to what Paul says. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He just exerted his omnipotence. Verse 18, he continues. Paul says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will be hardened, he will be hardened. And verse 21 continues, or 20 and 21. Nay, but man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou formed me? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? So Paul is telling the Romans that God is the ultimate controller over all. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipotent only. No man has these attributes but God. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? No man has these attributes but God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 23 this time. Job chapter 23, and Job is still answering, you know, Eliphaz, the Temanite, with his citation or conviction against him. Listen to what Job says in Job chapter 23, verse 3 through 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Seek God for your answers. My brothers and sisters, you don't seek me for your answers. You don't seek yourself for your answers. We know that through the basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, that is our source of written inspiration from God. That's where we seek our answers, okay? So this is what Job is saying in Job chapter 23, verse 3 through 7. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Of course, there was no Bible in his day. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There are the righteous might despite dispute with him so that they may be delivered forever from his judgment. Verse 13 continues the thought. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he does it. And verse 14 completes the thought. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. My brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus tells us that the author and finisher of our eternal salvation is the Lord God Almighty. Okay, what we're going to do is go to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to see how Isaiah put this to Israel when he prophesied about seeking God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 9. Listen to what Isaiah said, my precious brothers and sisters. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Repentance, my brothers, we spoke to this earlier. God continues through the prophet saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways, and saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And then he completes with this in mind, verse 11 through 13, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fern tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. My brothers and sisters, you seek the Lord God, and he will give you the salvation that you need. Now let's go to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to see how Jesus put it to the disciples. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 25, and this is how Jesus put it, seeking God for your answer. Verse 25, chapter 6, it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 31 continues, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. My precious brothers and sisters, that is significant. That's where we get our answers, from God the Father, through God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if that indwelling, which should be in you, is, then you should be still and be quiet, and God will give you the answer. And this is what it should mean to you spiritually in your life. It should mean that seeking, knocking, and asking is the formula that Jesus left us with to get to God. Remember, Jesus says, seek, and ye shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and ye shall receive. He that knocks, it shall be opened. He that seeks shall find if he seeks correctly, and he that asks shall receive. My brothers and sisters, that's the answer. Okay, let's return back to the next instruction. We're going to be looking at Job chapter 24 this time. Turn back with me to Job chapter 24, and Job is going to continue to respond to Eliphaz, who was citing him in this particular part of the Bible. We're going to look at Job chapter 24, verse 1 through 4, and we're going to pay attention as I read the instruction to you. Pay attention to this particular instruction. The evil shall be punished. My brothers and sisters, we know that is of a truth. But of course, in this instance, the citation against Job was in error. Evil shall be punished. And this is what Job himself told Eliphaz, that he knows this. This is in Job chapter 24, verse 1 through 4. Listen to what it says. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way, and the poor of the earth hide themselves together. Verse 13 through 16 continues. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer raising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night as of a thief. The eyes also of the adulterer waited for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguise his face. In the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. And verse 20 is the concluding of the thought. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So doth the grave those who have sinned. My brothers and sisters, there's no way to get around God. I see that we're at the final break of the hour. Let us take that break, then we'll continue with the study.
Usually when we say, hey, you need to humble yourself and repent, we typically see that as like a rebuke, a negative thing. And it's true. I mean, we need to humble ourselves and repent. And that is difficult, but you've got to understand grace always follows humility. And so for us, we need to be people who understand every time I humble myself, it's going to work out for my good. Now what happened with Job is that happened on this earth. And there are times when that happens. I mean, the idea behind this story is that it works out in the end. But there's other places in Scripture, like when you read the book of Hebrews and it talks about these people who have faith, it says very specifically at the end that there were some people who never got to see it in their lifetime. But their reward was going to come later. They were willing to suffer whatever they needed to do on this earth because they so believed. They had a faith, and they said, no, God promised a reward for those who earnestly seek him.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at Job chapter 24, and Job is giving Eliphaz a report on the evil shall be punished, and he knows it. And we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 18, and we're going to look at some verses to undergird or substantiate what Job told Eliphaz. Listen to what Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says. God speaking to the prophet, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinned, it shall die. Evil shall be punished, my precious brothers and sisters. Verse 20 continues the thought. The soul that sinned, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. What Ezekiel is saying here is that the Son, even though the Son is born of the Father who is wicked, if the Son does no wickedness, the Son is not going to bear the or inherit the sins of the Father. The sin of the Father is going to be on his own head. But if the Son does sin, then that's when he bears his own sin. And verse 30 through 32 completes the thought. Listen to how Ezekiel puts it. Ezekiel prophesies this. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. My precious brothers and sisters, the evil that we are engaged in our lives, we can be assured that we will be held accountable for it. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. The whole duty and matter of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And again, when Jesus wrote in the Gospels, or I'd say as it's written in the Gospels about Jesus, Jesus says he will come on a cloud. He will return on a cloud with the angels of God. And he will render to every man according to his works. And we know that in the book of Revelations, in the last chapter, 21 or 22, it says, or it may have been chapter 19, when it identifies the great white throne of judgment, it says that every work that we have done will be held into account. And that tells us that all that the evil that we have done, we will receive some type of reprimand or some type of punishment for that evil. And this is what verse 30 is telling us. Verse 31 says, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make ye a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? And we are talking or what Ezekiel is referring to is the repentance that we brought out earlier in the program. If you repent, you have merit with God. That is the key to Jesus Christ coming to save us. He brought us the ability to repent. And through that repentance, he has taken on the onslaught of sin. Remember, it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. My precious brothers and sisters, repent. And that's key. And that is what Ezekiel is telling Israel at this time. And Ezekiel completes the thought through Ezekiel by saying in verse 32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." My precious brothers and sisters, I am so pleased at hearing what God has said to the prophet Ezekiel in this verse, because what that means, it substantiates what Paul taught to Timothy in 1 Timothy, that it is God's will that all mankind be saved. Glory, hallelujah, because the hope of glory is the salvation that I would want everyone, you and I and all others, to receive. And this is what I get from verse 32. Okay, now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see how the book of Revelations relate to this, and it's going to be in Revelations chapter 21, verse 7 and verse 8, and this is what it says, and this is telling us that whether we like it or not, this is the result of being righteous or unrighteous. Listen to what verse 7 and 8 says of Revelations chapter 21. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." My precious brothers and sisters, this is telling us that God is going to take care of those who are righteous, and he is also going to take care of those who are unrighteous. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the prophet Ezekiel said it well, again, that the soul that sinneth shall die. So we must thank God for Jesus Christ, who gives us repentance. That is the whole crux of this lesson, that we repent, because even in Job's day, we know that Job repented also. And I think that was the last lesson we had last time we met, and it identified that Job recognized that he had to repent to God for his unrighteousness, because Job thought that he was righteous, and that's what caused Job to be challenged by God to prove that he wasn't. But Zophar and Eliphaz and Bildad did not understand the details, and they could not convict or convince Job of that. But God himself did that through the book of Job itself. And we will get to more of that when we return. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, that is the for tonight, the lesson. And what I'd like to do before we close out, as the host and I, we would thank you, as we all do before we sign off, and we hope that you are blessed, and we thank you for your participation and your continued encouragement. Good night.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Well, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky and said,
I created man, but I don't remember why. Nothing but fighting since creation day, and I'll send a little water and I'll wash them all away.
So the Lord came down.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. for Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth. Good night.